The epistle for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you until the end without crime in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, hearing their faith, said to this man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemes." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, Queen Blanche of Castile famously said to her young son, King Louis IX, that she would rather see him dead at her feet than to hear that he had committed a single mortal sin. And what this strong Spanish mother realized and wanted to communicate to her son in this very graphic way is that spiritual death is much worse than physical death. Just think about it. Spiritual death lasts forever, whereas physical death is only temporary. Spiritual death destroys our entire person, whereas physical death only destroys our bodies. Spiritual death can only come from our fault, our personal failure, whereas physical death comes from the fault of another, our first parent, Adam. So it's obvious that spiritual death is much, much worse than physical death. The fact is, however, that we are often much more concerned about our physical welfare than we are about our spiritual welfare. We're continually doing things to avoid dying physically, but we're not as active in to avoid doing things that will cause us to die spiritually. For instance, we're surrounded in our daily life by things that contain a certain physical danger, and we live with those things, but we're very cautious with those things. You know, you've got all kinds of knives in your kitchen, for instance, but you make sure that those knives are not going to be used in such a way that they're going to pierce your flesh. They're just going to be used to cut the things that you prepare for your meals. And you've got to have bleach in your house. You need bleach to do your cleaning in your house. But you make sure that no one drinks the bleach. If you drink the bleach, you're going to die. You know that. It has the power of killing you physically, but you're very cautious that it never comes to that, that never happens. So we have these things around us, but we avoid them in what is dangerous about them. We stay away from them because we do not want physical death. But we are also surrounded by things of great spiritual danger. And it's important that we be just as cautious with them. We have our personal technological devices, which can call filth into our presence with the push of a button. We have our entertainments, which can incite us to lust. We have our food and drink, which can draw us into gluttony. We have our annoyances, whether it be at home or on the road or at work, which can draw us into the flame of anger, which then devours our soul once it flames up and it's left unbridled in our soul. So we have all of these spiritual dangers, similar to the physical dangers that we have around us. We also have these spiritual dangers around us, but we tend not to be so careful about them. We tend not to be nearly as worried about them as we are about the physical dangers. And the reason is that we do not hate spiritual death as much as we hate physical death. How many parents, for instance, would take their collection of kitchen knives and would just put them in their infant's playpen? How many would take their 12-gauge shotgun and hand it to the teenage son for the first time and say, "Son, go have a good time with the shotgun"? How many would tell their daughter on her 16th birthday, "Here are the keys to the car. Go have a spin in the car. Have a good time"? We would all know that these things would be extremely, utterly imprudent. We could only expect that a disaster would happen. None of you would ever do something like that to your children. You would definitely keep yourselves from ever doing that. You would be right to consider it absolutely insane. But somehow, many parents are not so worried about their children losing their immortal souls. They hand over to their children for unsupervised use devices that are much more dangerous than a set of kitchen knives or a 12-gauge shotgun. They don't seem to realize that a cell phone is not a cell phone. A cell phone is an internet browser. It is a movie theater. It is a television. It's a computer. It has all the capabilities that any computer or television set or plasma screen TV would have. And that makes it very dangerous, very spiritually dangerous. The shotgun goes off a lot of times, and the parents don't realize that their children have just committed sort of spiritual suicide. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why we're not as cautious. We don't see it. We don't hear it. The child comes back, hands the device back, but there's nothing on the face or on the body that shows that something utterly disastrous has just happened. This is even worse. This sort of situation is even worse when it concerns the parents themselves. Sometimes parents can get into a rut of mortal sin because they live with death. They live with spiritual death. They carry death around with them. They're slaves of death. They're falling into mortal sin over and over again because of their technological devices, and they're not nearly as concerned about that as they are about driving on the right side of the road. And really, this sermon is mainly for those types of people. The sermon is not for the people who are habitually in a state of grace, but it's much more for those people who are habitually in a state of mortal sin, who regularly fall back into mortal sin because they have habits of mortal sin. Such people could have fallen into mortal sin 50 times, 100 times, or more because of their occasion of sin, because they carry that occasion of sin with them, because of the death that they carry around with them, and they still do not take the necessary means to remove the danger in their midst. But if they get bit by a bee or a spider or a snake, they immediately kill the animal so that it does not do them any more harm. But they're not so keen to neutralize the injury that's being done to them continually by their technological devices or whatever else it may be that is leading into the sin. And you may be saying to me, "Father, I know, I've heard this a lot from priests. Priests are talking about this stuff all the time. So you really don't need to remind me about this. Don't worry, we parents can handle this. We can handle our children. We can handle ourselves." And I would say to you, look, what do you expect of me as a priest? Do you want me to be saying, "Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You know, just be reasonable. Just be reasonable. Don't go over the top." Do you want me to give these vibes that your salvation is nothing to worry about, that losing the life of your life, which is your soul, is not that big of a deal? Or would you rather hear me say that I would prefer to see you dead at my feet than to hear you have committed a mortal sin? My job is not to reassure you that you are saved. My job is to make sure that you will be saved. And to do that, I have to warn you about your own lukewarmness. So, Father, why are you preaching a sermon about lukewarmness today? Well, it's because of the paralytic in today's gospel. The story of today's gospel, the paralytic represents a very lukewarm soul. He's a symbol of that spiritual lukewarmness, of a soul who is more concerned with the physical realm than with the spiritual realm. It seems that the paralyzed man, a paralytic or someone with palsy, is just a cripple. Someone who's crippled. They can't move. Their limbs are dead. You know, when someone's paralyzed, it's like there's no feeling in them anymore. There's no feeling in their body. It seems that this paralyzed man has no feeling in his soul. It's not just his body, but his soul that is paralyzed. When our Lord says, your sins are forgiven thee, the crippled man says nothing. You would think he would be delighted. He'd say, wonderful, that's very good news. But he does not rejoice. He doesn't thank our Lord. St. Peter Chrysologus, he says that the crippled man cared only for the healing of his body and not that of his soul. He knew that our Lord was a great miracle worker. And when he hears, thy sins are forgiven thee, he's like, oh no. I wanted him to cure my body. I didn't care about my sins. I'm not really worried about that. I was hoping that I wouldn't be a cripple anymore in my body. I wasn't worried about the fact that I'm crippled in my soul. So his paralysis is a symbol of what sin does to our soul. It makes our soul crippled. Our soul is not able to move anymore. It doesn't have the power of self-movement. It can't do anything in the supernatural order. And this is, the paralyzed man cannot move spiritually. He cannot rejoice over our Lord's words because his soul is dead. And this is why it's like others have to bring him to our Lord. He can't move himself to our Lord. He can't approach our Lord. And the same is often exists with a soul in the state of mortal sin. Spiritual acts become very, very difficult for a soul in the state of mortal sin. The state of lukewarmness almost goes automatically with the habitual state of mortal sin because there is this infirmity of soul. There is this paralysis, the spiritual paralysis, where the soul can't move or finds it very difficult to move. Sin makes it so difficult for us to approach our Lord. And this is what often happens to lukewarm Catholics. They know that they should be praying the rosary. They know that they should be making efforts to get to daily mass, to confess their sins, to do spiritual reading. And, you know, in a vague way, they definitely want these things. But when it comes time to actually executing, they find that their soul is so heavy. It's so weighted down. It's like they're paralyzed. And then slowly but surely their soul dies because of that lack of movement. It's like the powers of the soul become atrophied and they can't move anymore. They become shrunken. They're not able to exercise their native powers. So they become shriveled up to the point that they cannot even feel themselves anymore. They become insensitive to the commission of sin. They don't even realize that they're destroying themselves. You know, if you have someone who's crippled and you take a knife to their leg, they don't even realize it. They don't even realize that they're bleeding because they can't feel their leg. Their legs, you know, there's all this blood gushing out and they're having a conversation. They don't even realize it because there's no feeling in their leg. And the same happens with a soul habitually in a state of mortal sin. Over time, they become so desensitized to sin that they don't even feel the damage that they're inflicting upon themselves by their mortal sins. In this instant, the cripple did not realize that spiritual death is the cause of physical death. We often don't connect the two. We don't worry so much about spiritual death and we worry a lot about physical death. But guess what? The spiritual death is the source of the physical death. So it's a much more important thing to be concerned about because the physical death, all the badness of the physical death has its ultimate origin in that spiritual death. And so we should at least be convinced mentally, intellectually, that spiritual death is the worst death possible. All death comes from sin. St. Jerome says that the paralytic was crippled because of his sins. And that's why you have this strange procedure on the part of our Lord where he's going to cure him physically, but first he removes the source of the physical problem, which is the spiritual problem. He first removes the sins, and then he removes what's the effect of the sins, that physical inability to move. Our Lord had to remove the cause of the disease before curing the disease itself. What's interesting is that it was because the paralytic, the crippled man, had good friends, friends with a strong faith, that he was saved. He was not able to move himself towards our Lord, but his good friends who had faith in our Lord picked him up, and if you read the account in Luke, they dropped him through the roof of the house into the presence of our Lord, and that's what saved the crippled man. The gospel says that our Lord saw the faith of his friends, and that's what moved our Lord to do these things to the crippled man, forgive his sins, and also to cure him. So the friends knew that the paralytic was in a bad state on the one hand, and on the other that our Lord could heal him. And when a Catholic slips into that lukewarmness and eventually leaves the practice of the faith, he has to be carried back to God, as it were, very carefully, very delicately, just like if you have someone that needs to be put into an ambulance, you have to be very careful handling them. But they're not going to be able to put themselves in the ambulance. And it's the same with Catholics who leave the faith. They have to be treated very carefully, but they need to be brought back by their friends. We know what Our Lady of Fatima says. Many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray for them. If lapsed Catholics, fallen away Catholics come back to the faith, it's often because they've got holy friends who care a lot about them or are praying about them. And this story is encouraging for us that we can bring back people back to the faith. The paralytic would have remained in his sins. He would not have regained the power of movement if it were not for these friends. How many parents, for instance, pray for years and years for their fallen away children, patiently waiting, patiently looking for just a little bit of sign that maybe their child is entering into himself and starting to turn back to the faith. And then slowly but surely, over time, the hardness of heart of their children weakens and they're able to bring them back. How many parents are able to rescue their sons and daughters from spiritual danger when their children are naive and falling away from the faith and haven't fallen away yet? How many spouses are able to bring their wife or their husband back to spiritual life because of their patient prayers and suffering? They're doing exactly what the friends of the paralytic did for him. Which was the greater miracle, we might ask? The forgiving of the sins or the curing of the paralysis? And again, it depends on what we think is more important, physical death or spiritual death, the things of the body or the things of the soul. What's greater in my mind? Is it the curing of a body or is it the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ on this altar? Which is greater, consuming a perfectly prepared meal, a 5-star meal, or is it receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? The bottom line is, if you do not value the spiritual more than the physical, then you will not make sufficient efforts to take care of your soul. You will not save your soul. You know that everyone who is sick needs to go to a doctor. And if you start to have a fever such that you're living for the things of this world, if you wound yourself by falling into sin, if you become pale, weak, and enfeebled in your soul, such you can hardly walk anymore in the supernatural order, if you have symptoms of spiritual sickness, then you have to visit the spiritual doctor. And our Lord is so good to us. He makes it so easy. You know, if visiting a spiritual doctor was as difficult as it is to visit a medical doctor, then perhaps we could understand us holding ourselves back. If it was something that required enormous effort, then it might make sense to wait. If you had to pay $5,000 to receive Holy Communion, for instance, you're like, there's a fee attached to receiving Holy Communion. Or you had to pay $2,000 to go to a confession. Or if you had to travel 1,000 miles to get to the confessional, then it would be understandable. You'd say, well, I mean, that's just way too much. You could say, you know, Father, it's really too expensive to go to Mass. I mean, receiving Holy Communion is so expensive. It's so expensive to clean my soul. It's just, I can't afford it. I'm sorry. But our Lord, in His mercy, as I say, He makes it free. There's absolutely no charge to go. And it's very important that there be no charge. There's no fee. You're not paying the priest to go to confession. Our Lord wanted to make it as easy as possible for you to take care of your soul, because that is the reason He came on this earth, to give life to your soul. Our Lord values the spiritual health of your soul so much that He died for it. He didn't die for your body. He died for your soul. In the end, the paralytic is cured. He leaves his bed, which signifies his bodily pleasures, and he picks it up. Now he bears the temptations of the flesh and the world instead of lying on them. So you too, my dear faithful, you must commit yourself to the service of God. You must take great care of your souls, your first concern. Be very generous with your soul. Seek to come to Mass each Sunday and arrive on time. Seek to go to confession regularly, and also to some Masses during the week, if you have any possibility. Be generous with saying your daily prayers and your daily rosary. Perhaps say a few extra decades or mysteries of the rosary during this month of October, which is dedicated to Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. There's special graces there waiting for you in this month of the Holy Rosary. And avoid especially everything that puts your soul in danger. Be very careful with spiritual danger, just as you would avoid cutting yourselves with knives and drinking poisonous substances like bleach. Be very careful using these things, these technological devices, or whatever it may be that might be leading you into your sins. And lastly, do make great efforts for the souls of others. We know that St. James says that if you save the soul of another, you've saved your own soul. Your interest in the welfare of the souls of others can gain you heaven for all eternity. And in this way, certainly, you will imitate our Lord and our Lady, who gave their whole lives that you may have that spiritual life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.